2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like you to turn there. When we read the epistles to Peter, it was during a time of apostasy, compromise, but also great persecution. And how are the Christians supposed to act and react? And you know, anybody, I mean, when I pastored, once in a while someone would make an appointment and they'd come to see me and tell me how bad things were. And if I listened to them long enough, we'd both jump off the bridge. And so I'm not one of those guys is a sourpuss and everything's bad and getting worse. But look, when people are going through tough times, you talk to them differently than you do when people are all high and excited. You don't sing songs, you know, and talk lightly to those of a heavy heart. And so I want to challenge you tonight, this afternoon, just 3 points and a poem, and I left the poem out. So you'll know we're getting done. Glance with me at the second half of 2 Peter 3. Have you ever tried to get someone to see something, to really grasp what it's saying? You know, do you see it? Do you get it? Are you connected? Are you tuned in? Do you really understand what this is saying? I'm reminded of the guy who was having trouble with dizzy spells, and wow, it went on over and over. Every day he'd get dizzy and pass out. He'd stumble and fall, and he'd get dizzy. He went to every doctor he could go to. They couldn't find a cause. He tried medications and all the alternate medicines, and boy, he just was at his wit's end, so discouraged that eventually he said to his wife, look, this is going to kill me. I've lost my job, my driver's license. I don't know what to do. I'm frantic about it. And his wife, she wanted to help him but couldn't. And finally, he says, look, this is it. I'm going to die shortly. This is deteriorating so quickly. And he went to the undertaker and he said, hey, look, I'm going to die. My demise is imminent. I don't have much longer here. He says, I want to make my funeral plans. I'll buy a cemetery plot and I'll prepay for the funeral. And here's the order of service. And I want you to bury me in a tuxedo. And so everything is, and the undertaker says, well, I'm glad to do it. He said, and he starts measuring him for the tux. And he tells him, your sleeve length is this and this. And he says, and you'll need a size 17 neck shirt. And the guy says, well, I don't wear 17. He says, I wear a 15. I've worn 15 my whole life. And the undertaker says, well, you can't wear a size 15. Well, cut off your circulation. Well, you'd have dizzy spells. And sometimes I feel like what's laying there, simple and plain as a mackerel on the beach, and we try to complicate it and make it bigger and more troublesome than that. And so often the problem isn't that far away. I'm not one of those that says, let's give 10-cent answers to million-dollar questions. I don't want to cheapen the depth of problems. But on the other hand, when the resource is available within arm's reach, I don't want to make it tougher than that to get to. And so for me, here we are, anniversary Sunday, and I want to just show you 3 things. In 2 Peter 3, if you'll look at verse number 11, the first word is seeing. And if you look down to verse 14, the third word is seeing. And verse 17, the fourth word is seeing. So tonight we're going to look at, let's just see 3 things, okay? Follow along with me in the passage. I'd like you to stand as we read the Word of God. I don't know who else drank out of this, but there's lipstick on the brim. Verse 9. Follow along with me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Just three things that we want to see tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Bless our time in the scriptures. Help us, Lord. We know it's a day of great compromise, a day of great falling away, a day of great apostasy. Some Christians are discouraged. Some Christians are bewildered and at their wits' end. May we lay hold upon the promises of God Almighty, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. First thing it says in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? I want to point out one thing to start with here. He's talking to them about, hey, you in this chapter, you know how God said he was going to send a flood, and he sent a flood. God judges sin. You know how he renovated this whole world with water, and now he says at the end time he's going to renovate it again with fire. All things that are here, everything you see, is going to be burned up. A lot of times we have a hard time with that. But your car is going to be beat flat on the pavement with 120-pound hailstones, even if it's a Ford. Your house, I like nice things, but it'll be burned. These things will be dissolved. I was a new Christian. I had my alarm clock set. I'm going to get up and milk cows. It's 4:30 in the morning. I had it on a Christian radio station. The alarm goes off, and it's Dr. C.M. Ward, an old evangelist in the Assembly of God. And he was preaching from 2 Peter 3, and he says, looking at this verse, he said, there's only two kinds of people in this world. Those that love people and use things, or they love things and they use people. And then he read it again, but seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? And so the first thing I want to see is, it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? The most important thing about you is not your achievement, not your possession. It's your relationship with God Almighty. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He then says, look, what kind of person ought you to be? Notice what it says. In all holy conversation and godliness. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, the day of God. Hey, I know this is talking about the Advent. The next thing on God's calendar is the rapture, then the tribulation, the bema seat, the marriage supper of the Lamb, then he's going to return, and the, wow, we got the 1,000-year millennial reign, and then it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and all these things will be dissolved. But hear me carefully. How do you think about things when you realize that's the future right around the corner? Looking for and hasting unto the day of God. Charles Finney said, I can't wait till the Lord comes back and has his way in the earth and to watch the liquor crowd take to the woods. You know, after a while, you get sick of seeing people held captive by sin, watching lives being destroyed and people hurt and the children. Yesterday, I'm in Colorado Springs. I drive by America, the beautiful park, and there's all the rainbow tents because they got the gay pride parade going on down there, where people strut their sin and mock the command of God and belittle the Christians that have any sense of holiness and purity. I can't wait till God has his way in the earth. I want him to straighten things out. I obviously the way we're going isn't working. Lord, please come back and set it straight. Have your way. He which shall come will come, the Bible says. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? How are we to behave in light of this? Notice it goes on to say, in verse number 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, verse 14, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him, watch what it says, in peace, without spot and blameless. There's something about a happy Christian. I'm preaching in a church. I preached, and it was a four-day meeting, and there was a woman that came on the Wednesday night, and she sat over here, and she just stared at me the whole time. Didn't change expressions. The next night, she was back in her place. She didn't smile. She didn't grin. She didn't shake my hand. Nothing. The third night, the same. Sunday morning, Sunday night, the same. And on the way out of the church, she's shaking hands with people, and I'm standing there beside my wife, and she still hasn't cracked a smile. She looked like she was weaned on a pickle. If she'd have smiled, her face would have cracked. And she just says, I got one question. And she's talking to my wife. And she said, what kind of sin were you in that God cursed you with the likes of him the rest of your life? And she said, oh, I was in bad, deep sin. That's how come I ended up with him. You know why? Because she was miserable and she wanted everybody else miserable. She's just absolutely determined to drag everybody else down to her level. I had a woman in our church there in Oshkosh shake my hand and say, Pastor King, do you really know what's going on? And I said, well, I think so, but I said, tell me what you're referring to. She said, well, I'll tell you. So-and-so was just diagnosed with terminal cancer. So-and-so's got a wayward daughter. So-and-so just lost their job. So-and-so, and she just listed. And then the national problems and the politics and oh my, and wow. I said to her, yep, you know, actually I did know every one of those things. But here's what else I know. I know so-and-so just had a new baby and they're excited. I know so-and-so just got victory over tobacco and they're mighty thankful. I know so-and-so just saw their uncle saved on his deathbed in the hospital and they're rejoicing that he's in heaven. I know just enough bad things to keep me humble and dependent, but I know just enough good things to keep me encouraged. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Hey, look! The Bible says we all take our turns. The rain falls on the just, on the unjust. Everybody has a daddy die. Everybody has problems. Everybody has health issues or financial problems or kid problems or something. You are not God's favorite golf ball. Get in line with the rest of us. You get whacked once in a while, just like I get whacked once in a while. But hear me. The Bible says, for the lost, on their part, there is no comforter. I'm going through this life with the Holy Spirit on the inside. I'm going through this life with the comforter. I'm going through this life knowing everything that happens is temporary. Yes! My dad had his hand cut off in the corn picker. 40 to 92. 52 years without his right hand. He called me his right hand. Randy, I can't tie my shoes. Would you tie them? Randy, I can't put the screen up on the second story. I can't climb a ladder and put a screen in. Randy, I can't pull the spring back and put a new belt on my lawnmower. Randy, but you know what? He got saved, and he's in heaven today, and he's got a new right hand. Even the worst of circumstances are just temporary. It says, look, seeing you, look what it says. We look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's not always going to be all bad. Seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you be found of him in peace. I'm going to say this. Don't misunderstand in any way. But when you go through that trial of a death of a child, look, I've held a pure black baby that died in the womb 2 weeks before term, that was beginning to disintegrate inside the mother. I was there. I held the baby for mom and dad to take a picture. I don't want to ever to be dismissive about the deep, deep hurt that people can go through. But it's temporary, folks. It's temporary. People say, well, you know, what all's happened to me? Well, my mother died in front of me when I was 16 years old. My father lost his hand in a corn picker. I have a daughter who was raped. I have a son with a brain tumor. Get in line! Bad things happen. We're down here in the nasty now and now. That's what makes heaven so wonderful. He says, seeing that you look for such things, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I preached a sermon one time. No plumbers in heaven. Because the water of the river of life is there. There's no electricians. The Son of God is the light thereof. Undertakers are unemployed. I love it. I can't wait. I'm excited for God to have his way in the earth. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Look, the Bible says, every man hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. When people were preaching on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come back in 1973, but he didn't. He's going to come back in 1978, but he didn't. He's going to come back in George Orwell's 1984, but he didn't. Well, he's got to come back at Y2K, or the blood moons, or... And after a while, now you don't hear much preaching on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, he that shall come will come. And when people don't have the hope of the future, there's all kinds of shenanigans that get loose. And when the cat's away, the mice will play. And now we see a bunch of Christians, professed Christians, living as if there is no day of God coming. No judgment against sin. No answering at the bema seat. They act as if they can do whatever they want and God will just have to get used to it. But that's not the image of the Bible God that I read. There is, here's what it says. Seeing you look for such things, be found him in peace. Hey, have peace. But it says without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation. It's kind of a unfair yardstick. But let's see. Take all the trauma that you've had or will face and stand it alongside God giving his only begotten son. We indeed justly, the Bible says, but this man has done nothing amiss. The Lord Jesus Christ, innocent, dying for the guilty. Someone who did no sin. In him is no sin. Having to suffer the consequences. I got plenty of things I deserve getting spankings for. And I know so do you. And so when it says, hey, account that the suffering of our Lord Jesus, look, he for your sakes became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. I'm gonna claim that. I have an inheritance in glory. I have forgiveness from sins. I'm justified in the sight of God. I have the hope of heaven and everything that goes on down here. At most, I'll probably live to 120. Because my wife's honey-do list is that long. But that'll be gone too someday. Hear me carefully. Seeing then that these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? Seeing that we look for such things, be found in him. Having peace without spot or blemish, it matters. Notice what it says. Then in verse number 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. Hey, he says, look, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Surely the net is in vain as the net spread in the sight of any bird. When we know this, I'm on the winning side. Seeing what we know, I would trust this guy, John, I would trust him to know more about what's going to happen in the United States in the next 100 years than any politician on the planet. I would trust a Bible-believing Christian like Brother Crabtree to have a perspective on the environment, mankind, social justice, what's really the mega issues of our time. Why? Because people who know the Bible know that God's firmly in control. He is going to, that's what this whole chapter is about. Look, God said he was going to judge the earth and he did. God said it was going to be a flood and it was. God, let's see, so far God's got a 100% batting average. What he's promised to do, he's done. Lay hold to that anchor point. Have confidence in that. Don't ever lose sight of this. He says, beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. I often tell people when they're thinking about suicide, if you're a boat, you're swirling around and you're swirling around and you're swirling around and you're about to go down the toilet, grab for the rim, grab for the rim. With this hand, lay hold on. It hasn't always been this bad. With this hand, lay hold on. It's not always going to be this bad. If you just focus on the immediate, if you just focus on your failure, if you just focus on the immediate circumstance, anybody would be discouraged. This passage says, hey, you guys, you're looking for such things. You know this before. Be careful. Be careful that you don't fall from your own steadfastness. Watch out that you don't fall prey to this. It says, but grow in grace. I personally believe this. I believe God's given us a little bit of reprieve. I'm not a big politician, but I'm glad we don't have the Wicked Witch of the East as president. But look, I'm not so concerned about it's okay, we're here and we have a little envelope of time. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing. Let's get busy. I believe Woodside Baptist Church best years could be ahead of us. You know what's happening? Men's hearts are failing them for fear. They're troubled. And they're looking around and they don't know who has answers. You know there are people out there that are secretly hoping that what you have is true. They might make fun of you now. They might mock you now. They might belittle you now. I have a local restaurant that I go when I'm at home and get a cup of coffee, and there's a dozen guys there, and they all lie to each other every morning and tell stories and all that. And they make fun of me because I pray if breakfast comes. And they mock me and belittle me. But when their brother has terminal cancer, when they're told that they're going into hospice, when they have serious issues where they're thinking about their own mortality or someone they love, you'd be amazed how they'll stand up when I'm done and I pay for my food and I walk out. They quick throw a couple bucks on the table for their coffee and follow me out and take me aside and say, Randy, would you go pray with my brother? Why? They know they don't have the answers. They're hoping that you do. They're secretly hoping that what you have is real and genuine. They've seen the hucksters and the charlatans. They've seen the cynics and the hypocrites. They've seen the pretenders. They've seen it all. Who do they know that believes it and really believes it and practices it and lives it? See, there's something about, can you tell when someone's being genuine with you? Most often you can. When you don't, I tell people all the time, did you ever see a counterfeit $7 bill? No, you haven't. You know why? Because there's no real ones. And when you see counterfeit Christianity, you know what it proves? There's a real one someplace. And it's real with me. I don't deny that there's pretenders and hypocrites, and I don't justify them. But there are very real, sincere Christians who are living out their creed every day. The warning, the admonition to us is, be careful. Don't be so presumptuous. Don't be so prideful. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Flesh is flesh, no matter whose bones it's hanging on. I don't trust yours. I don't trust mine. While we're in this flesh, we groan earnestly to be desiring to be clothed upon with our home, which is from heaven. Till I get my new body, I'm subject to the same vagaries, temptations, and failures and weaknesses that you are. Lord, help me grow in grace till you come for me. Help me stay true when the Son of Man cometh. Will he find faith on the earth? You know what my prayer's been since December of 1969? Lord Jesus, if you find it any place, would you find it in me? I know the troubles. I see all this stuff's gonna be dissolved. I see that there's a great, bright future that's supposed to be an anchor for my soul. And I see those of us that know these things, we got to be cautious not to fall from our own steadfastness. And we got to grow in grace. You say, well, Brother King, are you growing? Yes, not just in my waistline. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I hope you're the same way. Lord, teach me, show me, help me. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I love His word. I love His people. God, help me grow in grace. Notice what it says. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what's kind of neat? And I'm done. The better I know Him, the more I love Him. He's been with me through this and this and this and this and this. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure someday I'm going to be told I have a terminal disease. But I know as sure as I'm breathing, He's been mighty good to me, and God will be God through that time. Heads bowed, eyes closed today. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Seeing then that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Seeing you know these things before, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. Listen, God, help us. God, help us to face all that is before us with the courage and the faith that the Lord Jesus will be with us no matter what. He's helped everybody before. He's helped me 100 times, 1,000 times, and I can trust Him. I see these things. Do you see Him tonight? I wonder, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you would agree with me, Pastor King? This world holds no attraction for me. I know I'm here temporarily, but even everything I have is not worthy to be compared with someday being in His presence. I'm looking forward to being with the Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, come quickly. These things will be dissolved. Lord, come quickly. And then how about tonight? Lord, help me be without spot and blameless. Help me to stay true till You come. No matter what anybody else does, let me keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me stay true to You. And Lord, help me grow in grace. I make my prayer before God. Lord, help me to grow in You. Would you just slip your hand up? Lord, help me to grow. Help me to grow in grace. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Now, Lord, we're not sufficient for such things. None of us are worthy of Your least of any favor, but You've been so good to us. And we pause tonight to worship You in the beauty of holiness and to say, thank You, Lord, for all You've done. You're a mighty good God. We come to You tonight as a living stone. You said You're going to have Your way in all the earth. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? Lord, we haste and look for Your coming. Would You chase away all wickedness and vileness? And we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But Lord, we're here and we know these things before. Why'd You tell us all this? Why'd You reveal all this to us? Why did You show us what the future looks like? Number one, so we could have hope through our trials. We thank You for that. You love us enough. When You said, let not your heart be troubled. Lord, you care not just about our soul, but you care about our emotional well-being. You care about our heart, and you care about our trials. And we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know us, our uprisings and our downsittings. You know us better than we even know ourselves. Thank you that you're a mighty good God. And now as we thank you for all you've already done, we petition you for what you've challenged us. Help us beware lest we fall from our own steadfastness. The devil would love to put us in his trophy case. Help us to stay true to you. And then, Lord, help us to grow in grace, till may we ever be growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. Bless Woodside Baptist Church. Best Pastor Scott. Guard and protect his mind and these families. Use us for your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.